1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. There's just no better resource, no better source than someone who saw it happen, right? Someone who was there. I don't mean an event that happens or an incident that happens in a minute or 2 minutes. Sometimes we get that wrong, don't we? But someone who walked daily with Jesus and leaned on his chest, sat with him at dinner, was in the ship with him, and saw him walk on water, and saw him raise the dead, knew that the guy was blind, and then Jesus gave him sight again, knew that the guy was mute, and now he could talk because of Jesus' healing. John was there. John experienced it. Stood at the cross and looked up and saw him on that cross being crucified, knowing that he died that day, was buried in a tomb around the corner, and was at the tomb that morning on Sunday to see that it was empty. To see that the clothes they had wrapped him in and laid him in that tomb, he was no longer wearing, but they were folded, right? Folded sitting there. And so John was that source. Guys, we can't find someone closer to the God-man, the Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no one closer. For the time of his ministry, those 3 years, John was there. And he held him, he touched him, he talked to him, he heard him. Look at what it says in verse 2. The life was manifested. It wasn't just a story. It's not just a tale. John says, it's real. I was there. It happened. You know, people get in this idea about Jesus and they say, well, he was a good man. He did some good things, but he wasn't God. He wasn't the Savior. Well, John says, I was there. How can you say he wasn't? I'm telling you, he was. I'm telling you, he did walk on water. He did come back from the grave. He did heal all manners of illness and raise the dead. There's no doubt he's the one. It was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Eternal life. Who's eternal life? Jesus. Look, he was before the beginning. He will be forever. In the beginning, God, Jesus was there. Let us make man in our image. Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word. By him were all things made. Jesus was there. And so he's all the way back. He's the Ancient of Days, right? That's Jesus. And he says, I show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father. Before he was here, he was there. He did not begin at Bethlehem. Please understand, Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem. Jesus was, look, in the garden every day, Adam and Eve would walk in the cool of the day, and who would meet them there to talk? Jesus. That day he called out, hey, Adam, Eve, where are you? Where are you? Oh, we're hiding over here. That was Jesus. And when Abraham was sitting in his tent, and it says angels or messengers walked up. Men walked up. One of them was Jesus. When they walked and looked, when they walked on and he said, well, I'm not sure if I should tell you what's about to happen here. That was Jesus walking with them. Wrestling with Jacob. That was Jesus. Before Gideon, Jesus. All these times. When Samuel was called into the ministry, remember, he heard his name, Samuel, Samuel. And he got up and ran into Eli. It wasn't Eli. The person that was calling him was in his room. He didn't even know it. Until Eli said, next time that happens, you just say, here I am, Lord. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. And Jesus was standing in his room. Jesus. From the beginning. Before the beginning. Before the foundation of the earth. Jesus. He was with the Father. And yet he was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Well, I appreciate when somebody will tell us about it. Guys, that should be us. That's our job. Let me ask you a question. You don't raise your hand. You don't have to answer anything. Just ponder it in your heart. Has Jesus changed your life? Since you got saved, has he changed your life? Is your life different? Are you different because you know the God of heaven? Because you know the Savior? Is it different? Then tell people about it. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Guys, I've seen Jesus change other lives. Not just mine. I've seen what he can do in other people. Saving me might not have been too hard. I was little, hadn't done too much. Right? I mean, how bad can you be when you're 5 years old? I can make you a list. But how bad can you be when you're 5 years old? You're young and you're innocent and you haven't got it. And so you say, well, it didn't take much to save you. You're only 5 years old. But you know, he didn't just forgive my sins when I was five. He's forgiven my every sin since then. So yes, it took a lot to save me. It takes a lot to save me. And so by the grace of God, we declare it unto you. I want you to know what he did for me. I don't wake up buried under the past, buried under the weight of my sin. I don't wake up with regrets and I've got some, but I don't let them weigh me down. Yes, I wish I'd done everything right. I wish I'd never sinned. I wish I'd made all good decisions. Don't you all wish you'd made all good decisions? Boy, wouldn't life be different today? But God's grace, he's forgiven all that. So we declare it unto you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. I want you to know what I've got so that we can agree together. You look around and look at the differences of the people that are here. Guys, we're from all different areas of life. And yet God has brought us together under one thing, and that's the grace of Jesus Christ. Guys, we're saved. We want other people to get saved. We're going to heaven. We want other people to go to heaven where our sins are washed away. We're born again. We're new people because of Jesus. And so he said, we tell you because we want you to have what we have. We want you to enjoy what we have. And we want you to go to work with us and be a team. Continue in verse 3, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. I don't just want you to know me. I want you to know the God of heaven. Isn't it a privilege to be able to just talk to the God of heaven? The God of all things, the Creator? Isn't it wonderful to be able to, you don't have to talk to some mid-level manager. Right? Listen to that music. Right? You don't pray and say, talk to the manager. Talk to the manager. You don't do that. Have you ever tried to get in touch with CVS Pharmacy? Goodness gracious. Even if you know the numbers, they're going to put you around in circles. When you pray, you talk to God. You talk to the top. The throne room of heaven, and you can go there and talk to God. And there's nothing my God cannot do. Isn't that great? Nothing is impossible with him. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I want you to know something. We can have joy God's way. You may challenge my joy because you think you're doing everything that the world tells you is going to bring joy, and you say, I've got joy. You cannot reach the joy that I've got except with Christ. Can't happen. Only in God can we have this joy. Only in God can we have such peace. Only in God can we experience such love. That your joy may be full. Guys, our church ought to be the happiest, most joyful people there are. When we sing these songs, there ought to be such rejoicing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Boy, it ought to just pour out amazing grace. It ought to just pour out. Well, when we connect with those songs, and it means something to us. Our fellowship is with Jesus, that our joy may be full. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. What does that mean? You ever wonder, what does he mean by that? It's light. You ever try to find something in the dark? You ever trip in the dark because you couldn't see it? But when the light is cast, all things are seen. Nothing is hidden. That's the point. There's nothing hidden. If we said this morning, ask, seek, knock, right? We read that in the Bible this morning. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so we're seeking it, we're looking, we're asking, we're knocking, we're searching, we're trying to find it, and God has the lights on for us to find it. He's not hiding anything. And the Bible talks about the mysteries. The mysteries. But the mysteries are not hidden from those who believe. The mysteries are open to those who believe. The mystery is this. Why would a loving, awesome, perfect God love someone like me? That's the only mystery. And God shines His light and gives us the opportunity to prove why He would love someone like us. Because He sees in us our potential. He sees in us our potential because He knows what He put in us when He made us. It's incredible. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What does it mean to walk in darkness? It means to live in deceit. To be a deceptive person. To hide things. To keep secrets. And you say, well, pastor, you know, some, and trust me, as a pastor, I can keep a secret. I have confidence. I understand that part. But to live in deceit is a completely different thing. If we're living in deceit, if we're living in darkness, if we're living in a ignorance that is self-induced. How many of you know somebody that's got self-induced ignorance? No pointing fingers, but you could raise your hand. It'd be all right. Self-induced ignorance. But if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, the understanding, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Again, the truth, the honesty, the transparency helps us to get along better, doesn't it? How many of you believe that honesty will help a marriage? Honesty will help friendship. Honesty will help with the parenting-child relationship. You ever had a little kid lie to you? Yeah. And they think you don't know. They think you don't see right through it. And so it harms the relationship, doesn't it? Because they're lying and you know they're lying. Because they're lying and then they treat you differently because they know that you can't trust them. It's not they can't trust you, you can't trust them. But when we walk in the light of understanding, when we walk in truth and honesty, it helps the relationships. It helps in fellowship. It helps us work better together. Openness and communication. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. Y'all see that next word? All sin. From all sin. I don't know if you're struggling with something tonight, but the Bible says He cleanses us from all sin. All of it. Aren't you glad? Right now we're all perfect. Isn't that great? It's great to be perfect right now for this moment. All my sins are washed away. Man, we're sitting in church reading the Bible, fellowship with one another. No bad thoughts at all. Just talking about Jesus, worshiping God. Boy, nothing can be wrong right now. We're perfect right now. Might ruin it in a minute, but right now we're perfect. All sin. That's good news. Now, He wants to clarify something here in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We say we have no... We say right now, for this moment, we're perfect. But if we say we don't sin, we deceive ourselves. So that puts everybody on a level field, doesn't it? If we confess our sins... Look, here's the thing. Why would you lie about it? Why would you hide in it? When if you'll just confess your sin, you know He's going to pay for it. I had a kid one time, I got called for shoplifter. I got up there and I said, you got money in your pocket. You could have paid for it. Why would you steal it? Makes no sense at all. Had no explanation. What was he doing? Walking in darkness. Walking in deceit. It was just deceit. But had the money. I don't understand why somebody who knows you have sin and knows Jesus is good for it will wash all that sin away. Why would you still live in that sin? Why would you try to get by? You're not going to get by. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only does He forgive it, He washes it away. Think about the Old Testament. What happened in the Old Testament? They went to the temple, they took an offering, and that blood was accepted in the Holy of Holies. It was accepted by God. And God would say, peace. But if we read, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, those sins were covered. Covered. Not forgiven, covered. In other words, we're just going to put that aside for now. We're going to take that sin. Okay, we accept your sacrifice. We're going to put that sin aside for now. All through history. Until Jesus was crucified, presented Himself before the Father in heaven at the true holiest of holies, presented Himself, and the Father accepted that gift. And then Jesus came into that room where the disciples were gathered that night, and He said the words of the high priest. He said, peace be unto you. And now no longer was it a covering. But look at what John says here. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I just say that and feel better, don't you? Man, my sins are washed away. I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. I don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. But the Bible tells me that if I am honest with myself, I do sin. In fact, the Bible says that all have sinned. Now, it may be in our lives, and I hope it is the case, that as we matured and as we grew in Christ, that sin began to leave our lives. We begin to abandon it along the way so that we no longer commit those sins. That's no longer a joy for us. It's no longer desirable to us. And so we find ourselves at a point in Christ where we're mature, we've grown up, we have a great prayer life, we love God's Word, we love God's church, we minister and we serve and we evangelize, we do all the things that God would expect of us. And so we look at our lives and we say, you know, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. Okay. But you realize you still need Jesus. Because even if you're at a good point in your life now, He wants to clarify something. If we say that we have not sinned. Okay, you say, well, I'm doing pretty good. Okay, all right. So you say, you don't have sin in your life now. No, I don't have any sin in my life. And I've met people that told me that. That's okay. But have you ever sinned? And the answer to that one is yes. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His Word is not in us. Even if we've matured, we can't deny that we had sin, therefore it's on our account, and that requires forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We need Him. Even when we're doing our best, we've done our best, we've grown, we need Jesus. Father, I pray that each of us would understand the great need that we have to continue in grace and knowledge. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for this church, for Your Word, for all that You've done. We pray that You would answer our prayers according to Your perfect power and love, and that You would show us our part. Dismiss us with Your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.